Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life, Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Whitney Radio. Today we've got a super special guest for you. We're joined by actor Kevin Interdonato. He's talking about his newest film, Bad Frank. Kevin, how's it going?
It's going great. It's going great, Walter. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm super excited to have you on today's show. I'm a huge fan of your work, and when I saw that you were attached to this film as like the lead star, I was really surprised and excited. Tell me how you first got involved with this film. What was kind of like the catalyst that got you interested in doing it?
How did I get involved? Well, first I want to say thanks, man. I really appreciate what you said there. I was approached by the director and one of the producers about the project, and it was, I guess we sat down and spoke about it before the script was finished. Story in place, and there's a character, a general idea of a character, Frank Pierce, and his condition, and I guess the journey he was going to go on. So I've worked with these two gentlemen before, Tony Germanario and Brandon Heitkamp. Usually I don't really go on to anything unless I read the script, but, you know, they're good dudes and they're both talented, and I know they're going to finish the film and do right by it, which is kind of few and far between independent film. It's tough to come across that. So I was in on the spot before the script was done, and then when the script came out a couple months later, I got involved with the writing of the script, and that was that, man. That's how we started.
Wow, that's awesome. So what, I guess, like, what did you do to prepare for this role? Because, you know, it was pretty physical, like, on one end. And then, you know, you had such a transformation to go through, just, you know, with the way that this guy is, you know, like, he, you know, like, but you can totally, like, empathize with Frank. But what was it like for you getting into the mindset of this role and preparing for it?
Well, that kind of, this stuff is fun for me. Regardless of how it may be, I look forward to really digging in. But dealing with someone with a mental illness, I took it very seriously. If someone can read the script or just watch the film and say, oh, this is, for lack of better words, just a fucked up guy, you know, with a bad bone in him. But for me, you know, it's about finding out what that actually means and getting to the core of it and finding the reasons and the justifications. And you know, I kind of saw Frank as a victim. I had to very clearly, essentially, Walter, I diagnosed this character as having intermittent control disorder, which is an impulse control disorder. And it's, you know, there's a very high dosage of medication to control people like this. So understanding the dosages, understanding the issues while being on, I guess, effects, numbness, and then understanding the withdrawal symptoms, which based on the dosages and the of the medication he was on, is similar to coming off of heroin. So there is a lot of information I just needed to know before I could kind of settle in and I guess empathize with it and just kind of take it in. And you know, when you sit in something for long enough, it just really kind of starts singing to you, and that's kind of how I got ready.
Absolutely. What would you say was, I guess, like your most memorable or enjoyable thing about, you know, filming this movie? Because I know that this was, I believe, the director. I think this was like his directorial debut. And so, what would you say was your favorite part about the whole thing, about filming and everything?
I think the favorite part was being able to work with such a talented production all around. I mean, you can attest to this, and so many people have, that the rest of the cast were just a bunch of incredible actors. You know, being able to bounce with people like that is just a wonderful feeling, because you feel safe. And then knowing that the cinematographer is just, you know, a champion, and the sound, the first AD. You know, sometimes when you get on a production, you hope things run smooth, and a lot of times they don't. So aside from the creative aspect, I was just very fortunate and lucky to be on such a good production.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you've done television as well. You were on The Sopranos, as well as TV's Rush Hour. So you've done a range of, you know, film and television. What would you say that you enjoy the most doing? Do you enjoy acting for film or television?
Well, I mean, I'll pull any punches, man. You can't beat studio money. That's the bottom line. Like, when you get a studio gig, Walter, there's people on set from the actors to the crew guys looking at their watch all day long, because the more time you spend going overtime, the more money you make. And a lot of times that's the feeling on set if it's not really, really interesting material. So that's a cool aspect of it. At least, you know, sometimes you get paid. Independent film, you don't get paid too much, man, but creatively the reward is indescribable. And I would take an independent film for those reasons any day of the week over something. But then again, you know, sometimes you get the opportunity, like in TV these days, if you have one of the main roles, to really have an amazing storyline. So it goes back and forth, man. But for the most part, independent film is kind of like doing theater. You don't have the time. You don't have the luxury. So you have to know your lines. You have to know exactly what your job is as the actor, and you have to go in there and bang it out and be ready. And I like that excitement about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you remember your first acting gig? I know that you kind of got a late start in the, you know, the field of acting, but do you remember your first acting gig? What were your emotions when you got that first callback?
Oh boy. Well, my first acting gig was a studio. Was a student film. You know, and you work your way up. But I think my biggest gig, my first big gig, was The Sopranos, and that was interesting, man, because that was three callbacks. And my audition consisted of one line. And I had to travel 2 hours. I lived in New Jersey at the time. I traveled 2 hours up to Queens just to wait in line with a whole bunch of Italian guys and go into the room and say one line, and then that was it, and go all the way back home. And it seemed like such a, at the time, a waste. You know, that's the life of an actor, man. It's a very difficult lifestyle. You know, it looks slick and glamour, but it's not. It's really not. It's a grind. And I think, you know, the hard part about being an actor is toughing out the grind. But when I did get those callbacks, I was kind of in a state of shock, because especially being from New Jersey, you know, being able to be on The Sopranos was a pretty big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit more about that, you know, like the misconception of acting and being an actor. Does it ever bother you? Because I know, like, a lot of people, they do think, like, oh, you know, like, actors are, you know, privileged, you know, puppies. They can, you know, pretty much, you know, they pretty much get paid millions of dollars to pretend. But I mean, there's more to it. I mean, you have to really hone and refine your craft. I mean, there's a rigorous selection process for films and television. What are your thoughts about that? Because you're an actual actor, a working actor, and, you know, I'm sure it's not easy.
No, it's not. And, you know, a lot of the times, and, you know, we're just being blunt here, man, a lot of times the financial aspect is tough to accept. You know, I'm not a wealthy man by any means. I make no bones about it. But, you know, certain jobs will come in the future that can reward you financially. But creatively, as an artist, you are, you know, you're in a business. And I chose this lifestyle, as did so many other people, to be able to express ourselves. And that's the reward with that. But as far as, you know, the grind and lifestyle and the actors making a lot of money and put on a pedestal and things, look, I'm just like any other Joe, man. I think actors shut their fucking mouth sometimes and they're talking about politics and, you know, there's no place for a lot of stuff. Just because someone's known or is an actor doesn't mean that they should have this almighty opinion about something and expect people to follow them. It's a joke, you know. I look at them and I want to smack them. But, you know, it's the reason why actors get paid a lot of money, man, is because actors make those films or make those TV shows a shitload, a lot more money than they're getting paid. So they make a lot of money because they're making the business money. And it pretty much equates to that, right down to the smallest business. You know, if you have, like, I come from a construction family business, Walter. So if my father hired a guy that's just a terrific worker and he moves him up to foreman and gives him a bump because this foreman's just getting my father more work, and then it bumps him up to like a partner because he's bringing more work to the company. Well, granted, that worker gets more money. So it's kind of like that, a much bigger scale, much, much bigger scale. But that is the reason why actors get so much money. It's not because they're just famous. It's because that they bring in money. So it equates to that.
Absolutely, absolutely. That when you explain it that way, I mean, it gives you, you know, it definitely provides some much needed insight and really kind of puts things in perspective. Because yeah, a lot of people, they just don't know, and you know, they make assumptions because they're, you know, they're ignorant. And so,
well, yeah, it's hard to find out. I mean, I'll give you another like an insight. Halle Berry. Halle Berry is, you know, an amazing actress and an amazing looking woman. She stepped out of her comfort zone several years back. She did that movie Monsters Ball, remember?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. So the studios did not let her do Monsters Ball. When you're in a studio system, when you're an A-list actor, you sign to a studio. You have your agent, your manager, all that stuff, but you also sign to a studio and you have a picture deal, say 3 pictures in 3 years or, you know, 4 pictures in 5 years, whatever it may be. So when that studio gives you scripts, they say, here's your script, this is the role, and you have to take it. And a lot of times those roles are based on what the moviegoer wants to see you play. So take Halle Berry, for example. You know, her career was, I'm not taking anything away from her. She's one of my favorite actresses, but she's a beautiful woman. So people used to see her, like to see her, you know, when she's looking good. So she wanted to take different roles and stuff and, you know, playing different parts. And they were like, no, because Halle Berry was getting at that time $20 million a picture. So why would they let her go play, you know, say a librarian with, you know, just like no makeup and this and that, yada, 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 when people don't go to see her like that. So they wouldn't warrant her getting paid $20 million because they know if Halle Berry gets paid $20 million and she's looking sexy in a movie, that movie's going to make, with her likeness in it, it's going to make the movie $80 million. So that it all comes down. It's almost like actors are looked like at stock. Looked as like stock. You know what I mean? And it's kind of an unfortunate way to think about. But it's the reality of the business, man. That at the end of the day, it's what it is. So she stepped out. Did Monsters Ball, took a huge pay cut, but look what it got her the Oscar. So that's pretty much how the system works in terms of actors, man. You're looked at by how much money you can bring in.
Absolutely. Wow, I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
Eye-opening.
Yeah, man, it goes beyond talent sometimes. It really does, sometimes. Yeah. But that's the nature of the beast.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about your time on Sopranos. I know that, you know, being attached to something like that, it, you know, that show is a part of, you know, modern day pop culture still. And it's got so many memorable episodes. What did you enjoy most about being on that series?
Oh man, the camaraderie. It was kind of like being in a big family. It was nice. The food was amazing on set, I'm not going to lie. I must have put on 10 pounds in a couple of days. I picked out like crazy. It was an incredible experience. And it was fairly short-lived. I was supposed to be on for the 5th season as a recurring. And I had to go to the military, unfortunately, and cut my time in half. And, you know, I lost that gig. But, you know, it was a great, memorable experience.
Absolutely. That was another thing I wanted to talk about, because I know that you started acting, but you did have to go away to the military for a while.
Yeah.
Do you regret the time that you served, or do you think that it all served a greater purpose?
I don't regret it, man. You know, I knew what I was doing when I signed those papers and took the oath, and, you know, just because I'm an actor doesn't make me any more important than anybody else, man. You know, at the time, I didn't have a family, I didn't have a wife, I didn't have kids. Most of the guys I served with had wives, kids, and I was flying solo. So, yeah, it disrupted my career. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you know, who gives a shit? You know, it's I wasn't leaving my family by themselves, and I didn't have that to worry about. So, I don't regret my time over there. It was what it was, and you just, you know, you move on. Lucky to be here, and you know, bounce back as best I could, and just moved on.
Absolutely. I know that, you know, when I talk to you and just seeing your work on film, I'm assuming that acting is probably like your dream career. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Being that, I know that you put your heart and your soul into every role that you get. On the subject of legacy, what's the biggest takeaway or the legacy that you want to leave, say, when, you know, maybe you're done acting? What do you want people to get when they see your films?
Well, I think that you kind of nailed it on the head in a sense where you're going with this. It's about the film. It's not about me. You know, I'd rather have, you know, obviously to fulfill my own creative desires, it's about the role, it's about the character and doing the best I can. But at the end of the day, me being a moviegoer, I'm a movie fan at first and always was, you know, people reach out to see a good movie, not just to see a good actor. It's about the movie. So I guess what I leave behind is, you know, keep striving forward and have the ability to get in just really outstanding films that have a place in people's hearts and minds for a long time. That's the goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What inspires you? I know that a lot of actors and creative types, they have different things or people that inspire them, that help them to create. What would you say is like your biggest inspiration or something that just really fuels you when you're doing your work?
Man, you know, it's really the only outlet that gets me. You know, we all have our things. You know, some people, when they get stressed out, they go for a walk or they go work out, or some people like to paint on the side, or some people, you know, they pick up the guitar on those nights and just, you know, strum it out or write. And, you know, being an actor in that process is what does it for me. Nothing else really compares to it. So I think as far as inspiration is concerned, I'm really not inspired by anyone in particular to be an actor. I didn't come up saying, oh, I want to be like him, I want to be like him. It was more of just a personal want. And I think I just, you know, it's inspiring to me to make sure that I can fulfill my own, you know, my own creativity in this world. That's just what inspires me.
Absolutely. Man, I love that. What advice would you give to somebody, say the young guy, young girl that's out there listening to this interview today, that, you know, aspires to get into acting, or, you know, that's pursuing, you know, a lifelong career, you know, maybe going into the military or so on and so forth. What advice would you give to that person today?
Man, so that's such a loaded question, man, because there's like different advice that would benefit different people at different phases. Starting out, I know what I would do. I know for a fact what I would do different. So I guess this would benefit, you know, the question you're asking. Starting out, I would not blindly assume that just because I wanted to be an actor, that meant I just act and work as hard as I can, and I get jobs. It doesn't go like that. If I could do it again, I would have went to college. I would have been in a theater program. I would have graduated with a theater degree, and I would have graduated a degree in business, hands down, without a doubt, and I do regret that. It's such an important aspect of this business to have an understanding of you're entering a business, even though it's a creative element, even though you're creating art, you still have to know business and how to deal with people, right down to managing your finances in order to succeed in this life and in this career. It's so important. You know, there's actors I know, man, that are wonderful. There's some wonderful, wonderful actors that I know that would intimidate me to work with sometimes. But I can tell you right now, you're not going to know who they are because they're dead set on just being an actor and nothing else. And because of that, they're detrimental to their own career. It's like being their own worst enemy. So I would definitely put that in the forefront to any actor that thinks they're just going to go out there and, you know, a dollar and a dream. It's nice to hear those stories, but it's more like, you know, a dollar and a dream out of 1 million. I don't even know if it's inspiring to hear those stories when someone got quote unquote discovered, because you don't know how long or hard that person's been working before they got discovered.
Yeah.
So it's really about putting the time in and learning as much as you can about business. It really is.
Wow. Man, Kevin, that was some. You were so transparent there, you know, with what you said. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like you see and you hear the success stories, but you don't know what that person went through. You know, like when they talk about like Kevin Hart, you know, like I think he said that before he got discovered, he was like bouncing checks and had almost gotten his car repossessed and just
a bunch of stuff.
So, yeah, it's a really rough road, man. You just don't know. I mean, it's you know, and this is no offense to you, but I think Hollywood, they do a really good job of showing you the success stories, you know, the finished product, but you just never know what the road upwards to that led to, you know. And so
you
when
you
said that, it really puts it in perspective.
Cool. Yeah, kind of throw it from the hip, but that's the reality of it, man. It is.
Absolutely. My last question is what upcoming projects do you have in the works that we can look forward to, and where can our listeners find out more about you?
Oh, sure. Well, coming up, thanks for asking. I just finished up a movie that I co-wrote and produced with a bunch of talented people. It's called Dirty Dead Con Men. It's really, really exciting film. It's kind of like a cross between the first season of Miami Vice and L.A. Confidential. It's a real neo-noir film, and that will be out probably November or December. And I just found out a couple days ago, Walter, ironically enough, I just got cast in a pretty big film called Asbury Park, and it's a period piece that takes place in 1974 in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And I would say that's comparable to the Outsiders meets West Side Story, real rough and tumble kind of movie. And they got some pretty big names attached. Joe Pesci was just attached recently, and some other ones that I can't mention right now. But
wow.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's just an insane cast and movie. And a good friend of mine, Peter Dobbs, he's going to do his debut to it.
Man, that's awesome. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Thanks, man. You're not alone.
Very nice. Well, Kevin, I'm all out of questions. I wanted to thank you so much for joining us on today's show, and wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything else you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Oh, well, I just want to say thanks for listening. It's really a pleasure, and I do appreciate everyone that's been, this keeping an ear on this conversation, and everyone that's going to go see Bad Frank. And also, Walter, I appreciate you having me. Anyone could find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. On Twitter, I'm at Kevin Intro. Instagram, The Kevin Intro, and Facebook's just my name, Kevin Interdonato. So more than happy to say hello to anybody. Stop on by.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Pleasure was mine, Walter. Thanks for everything.
You're welcome. No problem.
All right. Good luck, man.
Good luck.
Bye.
Guys, that was actor Kevin Interdonato. You can check out his social media accounts. We'll put them in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to our show by going to the iTunes store. Search for our name, Redefining the Counterculture. You hear this interview with Kevin. Android users, have no fear. We're available on your Android device. Just go to the Google Play Store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. And lastly, if you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can listen to us right in the privacy of your own home. We've got over 200-plus hours of original content programming and interviews, all free of charge. From the Roku Channel Store, just search for our name, Witten Radio. And once you search our name, download the app. And once the app is downloaded, you can begin streaming all free of charge.
Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life, Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.